Well, we've had a lot of things on our plate this week, a lot of things that we've had to think about other than today. But I had to think about today because it's what I do. I have to think about Sundays. And it's hard for us to even imagine because it's been a week now, but this is actually the first Sunday of the new year. So I want to preach with that sort of in mind and ask us to kind of, and this is really a good thing to say today, kind of put the past behind us and start looking to the tomorrows because we have a brand new year. Days don't really mean anything. I actually had a neat thought this morning during one of our devotions. We did a couple of different devotions this morning, and one of them, it was a man we listened to. He does a, it's not a podcast, it's on the telephone, but it's like that. You actually listen to it. And this lady had written him and said, you know, that in heaven, time will be no more. And I started thinking about that, and I was like, yeah, there's no sun. There's no nighttime. Christ is the light, and it's just daytime forever. So you don't have a yesterday, and you don't have a tomorrow. You just have one continuous day. And I got blessed. That probably didn't do you anything, but man, I got blessed when I thought about that because we said goodbye to someone yesterday and earlier in the week, actual passing. But you know, you think about that whenever someone dies. And in this particular case, I thought of Henry as soon as we got to the house the other day. Brother Bob and I went, and the first they handed us a folder, and the first thing I saw was Henry's pond. And I know that because I've sat on that same bench fishing. And you know, you just start thinking of it, everybody and the Tuesday morning crowd in particular, getting smaller. So it's kind of crazy. But we're looking to a new year. That's the point. And I want to read this is actually my text, but I, you know already, I veer off from time to time. I did last Sunday. I went off on Joseph a little bit, and I had somebody write me that watches online, and they said, preach on Joseph sometime. Well, on the way home, my wife said something very similar and said, yeah, you reminded me. I think I'm going to do a Bible study on Joseph. So starting next Sunday, because some people in here can't stand the Iowa weather, they're bailing out and going to Florida. So my wife's going to start teaching next Sunday on Joseph. So if you would make a commitment to the new year to say, I'm going to Sunday school, then you'll get to meet somebody way better than me at presenting material. So she's good. And I enjoy my wife. I mean, we got married for that reason. We enjoy each other's company, but I married up. You ever heard that expression? I married up. She's smart, and you'll enjoy it if you come. So here's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Boy, and I thought of that. Obviously, when I was working on this, Larry Brooklander hadn't even passed away yet. And it was just like, I think this is going to just work okay anyway. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. Now I'm going to stop right there and tell you that's really hard to do, and I know that, because it's hard to not look at the things that are seen because that's what we see. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this morning, the sermon title is, Where We Focus is Critical. So we're talking about what we look at. Do not just look at the temporary things, but keep in mind the eternal things. So let's pray together. Father, we've read your word this morning, and it speaks to us, especially in light of the week we've had here. And Lord, I think of Elmer, I think of Larry, the times we sat on Tuesday morning comparing pictures from fishing, and Lord, that's something we enjoy. That's a temporal thing. That's a something here. Here is not bad. It's just we can't focus just on here, or when we lose someone we love, it hurts too much. We have got to understand that there's something else, far greater. The weightier things are the eternal things. So help us this morning, Lord, as we ponder this. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, this passage where it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, that reminds me of Hebrews 11:1, faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, faith says, I can see tomorrow without seeing tomorrow. That's not easy, but that's what faith is. Faith says, I do not just look at what the circumstances I'm in now, I can see beyond it, and I can see better beyond it. So that's kind of the point of today. So I'm going to give you the sermon in a nutshell. Let me just say this to you, because this will come out. Having possessions is not sinful, okay? Having things, it's not wrong to have things. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were some of the richest people in their day. Job was very rich. Now, he had problems. Abraham had a personal army that he hired to protect him and his stuff. 418 men. Now, you say, well, ain't that big of an army. It's as if it's your own army. He just had them on standby. If somebody comes messing with my stuff, go take care of them. 418 men, private army. He's a pretty wealthy dude. I just use those examples right there. Stuff is not the problem. That's the whole point of that. Stuff is not the problem. The problem is spending too much time focusing on our possessions, the seen things, and not enough time focusing on our spiritual. You've got to know, I say this sort of emphatically, but you can't help it but think about it every time you have a funeral. I'll address that again, because we're not done with funerals this week in our world. Every time I stand at the head of a grave, and man, alive, if you do not know where Larry Brooklander got buried, I don't know how to tell you to find it. Just drive to the end of the road, and there's a cemetery. Just drive to the end of the road, and there it is. So it's out by the lake. And Bob and I, of course, were looking around there, and he had not been there either. And there were tombstones from the 1800s. So I said, this was here before that lake. But it's up on a hill, and it just looks down at the lake like that was planned. But the cemetery was there first. Then they built the lake as like it would be a nice setting for the cemetery. I don't know how they came up with that. But here's what I'm saying to you. Every time I stand at the head of a casket, I know I'm looking at people. Some of them are thinking, boom, the end. It's over. Life is done. No. Larry Brooklander's more alive right now. I said fishing's temporal. I hope it isn't. In fact, right now, I'm wondering if Elmer and Larry might be fishing. Got them a little wooden thing built. Henry showed them how. And there's a river that runs right down the middle of heaven. I have another friend named Larry. He's already up there. We never got to go fishing together. When I met him, he already had cancer, but he got saved, lived almost a year, and all we could talk, he wanted to go fishing so bad, and he told me, he said, I'll know where the deep holes are when you get there. See, I'm trusting there's fishing. Fishing is too important. it's got to be eternal. That's the way I look at it. So it's not, it's a temporal thing because we do it here, but it's going to be an eternal thing. But I'm sure it's going to be all catch and release, and that drives my wife nuts. All right, I'm already drifting. I feel myself drifting. Where you focus is where you go. Is that too hard? Where you focus is where you go. Now, I've already mentioned my wife. I'm going to mention her again. I could have her come and preach this part, and I guarantee you I'm about to get an amen from her. It's on a rare occasion that when I'm driving my car, somehow we find ourselves in the gravel on the side of the road, and my wife looks over and says, "Baby, there seems to be some sort of malfunction with the car causing it to veer to the right. You need to compensate by steering back this way." Do you think that's what my wife says? Everybody shake your head like this. Now, you know what she says? She screams at the top of her lungs, "What are you looking at?" Because she guesses without looking that there's a deer out in a field at the tree line, and I'm trying to see how many points it has on its rack. Amen. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? When I veer to the right, she says, "What are you looking at?" Because she knows if I'm looking to the right, I steer to the right. Wow. Now that's very practical. I just wish I had a verse that would literally almost say that. Let's try that one. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. Think about the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Stay in the middle of the road. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Solomon. King Solomon understood that we tend to go the way we look. Is this too easy? Yeah, it's easy. It's so simple we should get it easy. Don't look to the right or to the left or you'll go that way. Stay looking down the road where you're trying to get. Isn't that easy? And that, who said amen? I think it was Dale. We could just say, "Let's go home." That's good enough right there, but I got a couple more, so I'm going to keep going. But that was an amen point right there. The spiritual application is don't get distracted focusing on things that are the wrong thing. What's the sermon title? Where we focus is critical. That's it. That's the whole sum total. So here's point number two. Let's focus more on Jesus. I'm going to go off again here just real quick. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. It's Hebrews 12. It's 1 and 2. I didn't get it all there, but keeping your eyes on Jesus. I didn't even put that in here, and I should have, I realize right now. But I'm going to go back and read verse 16 again from our text. Therefore, we do not lose heart. What does it mean to lose heart? It means to become discouraged spiritually. It doesn't mean that your heart quits working. It means spiritually, don't lose heart. Don't become discouraged. I know it's hard. He says, look, the outward man is perishing. The outward man is fading away, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's the good thing. Are you being renewed day by day? What do you do to keep yourself up? What do you do to tell yourself, hey, you know what? Yesterday was tough, but today's going to be good, and tomorrow's going to be better yet. Because you have to do that. Paul said to the church at Corinth, we should not lose heart, because life gets hard. That's not a good reason to lose heart. And man, I do Sunday school commercials. I did one for the upstairs class. I'm going to do one for the downstairs class. Man, we were in Romans 8 this morning. Wow. Wow. Who, I think this was verse 35 of Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, troubles, sorrows? It lists four or five things there, not a one of them is a who. They're all what's. And we talked about that. You know who? Do you know who can separate you from the love of Christ? You. You are the who. That sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. You are the who. When you look in the mirror, you've got to decide, I will not be discouraged. Sometimes we look and I'm rubbing like that's the only wrinkles I got. We look and we go, well, I'm getting older. I must buy Botox. They don't make enough Botox to plump me up. I'm telling you what, I never thought I would get wrinkles, and now I have them. I have wrinkles. My wrinkles have wrinkles. The old man is wasting away. That's King James, wasting away. We're not just perishing. We're wasting away. Good grief. So you can get depressed and say, I'm one day closer to the end, or you can say, man, I'm one day closer to heaven. See the difference? They're both the same thing. I'm one day closer to the end here, but the end here gets me there. And while I love life, man, I love my grandkids. I love my kids. I love my wife. We enjoy being together. I love it. I love my friends. But I got a bunch of people on the other side, and I'm going to go see them one day. So when I get discouraged, I get encouraged. That's, wow. So today, if you find yourself struggling a little bit on focusing on Jesus, I'm saying life here is good. I'm not talking about living in, I don't want to call it, it is distorted. See, Jesus does not tell us just to focus on heaven. We focus on here. That's why I started off. Possessions are not sinful. Having things, enjoying life. There were people, they called them Stoics. And it's like they never smiled. We were talking about this morning, Robin, it took me a second there. Robin was talking about old pictures. I don't know what she's talking about, but in old pictures that I've seen, people stand like this. Oh, what's the people, Gothic? You know the Gothic house? Those people. I know you're taking my picture, but I ain't smiling. They're just standing there so somber, and it's like, crack a smile, dude. Just Julie told us yesterday that she faces life with humor. So she says goofy stuff just to make people go, what? Just because it's funny. Just be funny. What's wrong with that? See, we act like Christians ought to think that this is a miserable existence and we're just trying to get to heaven. No, I kind of enjoy it now. But I don't want to lose focus of that it's getting harder. This is a horrible illustration, but I noticed it this morning. I have to lean on one wall to just start my pants on. Otherwise, I just fall down. I just fall over. Okay, if that didn't go good for you, just scratch that one from your memory. Don't let that paint pictures in your head. It's getting harder, folks. Some of you young, well, there ain't a whole bunch of young ones. There's one and there's one. Yeah, you wave your hand. Yeah, y'all don't have a clue. You're sitting here going, what are you talking about, dude? I'm young. I know. But you wait till you're in your 60s and 70s and 80s and wow. Or older, I don't know how. The point here is that if you're stuck and you are already in some sort of depression, you got to refocus. So the idea is to focus. What you focus on is critically important. So if your focus is bad, it's time to refocus. And today, being the first Sunday of a new year, is the day we're going to refocus, and we're going to focus more on Jesus. All right? So, the great question, how do you focus on Jesus and focus on things that are seen? Things that are seen are temporal, and you're saying focus on the eternal, and I'm saying put them together. That's the point. It's a legitimate question, but it's now. So here, I'm going to give you another verse, Mark 9:41. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Can I tell you, a cool cup of water, you say, man, that seems irrelevant. That's today. A cool cup of water given in the name of Jesus, see, you see what the tie-in is? A cool cup of water isn't a huge thing. Now, if somebody gives you $100,000, you say, wow, but no. No, the small things, the little things in life you will find are way more important than the big things, because the big things come along so rarely. It's the little things. So do something for someone that might be a little thing, but you never know. My wife's good at writing cards, I'm going to tell you that. We have had people write us thank you notes for her sending them a card. And I'm like, I don't think that's good to start that, because then you feel obligated to write them a card thanking them for sending you a card because you sent them a card. Do you get what I'm saying to you? See, a card, you say, is so insignificant, but somebody gets a card and they go, wow, that came on just the right day. I needed that. I'm going to send them a card and tell them thank you. And you start this card swapping thing. It's a little thing. But if you get a card on just the right day, it's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. So we're going to focus more on Jesus. Now, I know my wife told this already in Sunday school, but we were at the visitation on Friday, started home, and Bob and I had spent some time together this week due to sharing that funeral. And so we went over to the Brooklanders' home and then met together. And so I knew that he had a funeral on Tuesday this coming week as well. And I don't know what they're going to do weather-wise. It may be tough. But so we left here on Friday and didn't get very far down the road. And I have friends who are undertakers. They're funeral directors. And one of them's name popped up. And they very seldom call me just to chit-chat, you know. Usually when his name's on my screen on my car, because it comes in on my car, I just say, wow. I said, hey, Ben, what's going on? Well, I'm here with GE. GE is a man who works for him, but GE's wife just passed away. And he said, GE was wondering if you would be able to do a funeral on Tuesday. I got home, I wrote Bob. I said, guess what? I have a funeral on Tuesday now. Well, now they changed it because of the weather. They're kicking it down the road to Thursday. So then last night we come up, had the funeral, did the dinner. My wife, we had to run out to Walmart. Our car won't even go by Walmart. It just, then you have to hold it. Come on. I mean, it just thinks it ought to go to Walmart. I don't know why. But we took a little time. We're getting out of town kind of late. We got down just to the north side of Albia, and the phone rang, and it was a lady from our church in Moravia, and I knew what that was going to mean, so I said, hello, and it was her grandson, and he said, Grandma wanted me to call you and tell you Grandpa just passed away. I said, oh, man, I didn't tell him I'm in Albia. But I said, well, thank you for calling. Tell Pat we're praying and we'll see her. So I hung up and I looked at my wife. I said, we're going to go by Pat's on the way. So it took maybe 2 minutes to get to that house. So he was in the basement. Nate, the grandson, was in the basement with his grandmother. And he was going to come upstairs and start trying to fix some supper. And when he got to the top of the stairs, I was standing there. And he literally fell over in the stairwell because I'm wearing a suit. And it was like he thought that somehow Beam Me Up Scotty had picked me up in Moravia, set me down in Albia, and dressed me appropriately. And he had freak out all over his face. But I got to go down and hold hands with a man who had just minutes before that passed away, with my arm around his wife, and we prayed together. So this coming week, man, I'm faced with the reality that we're wasting away. Day by day. I have no idea what Wednesday or Thursday's going to hold. I mean, it's just, it never ends. We were talking out there about retirement. Yeah. We were talking out there about retirement. I'm not all that horribly retired at all. But it's okay. I love what I do, and I love people. And while I don't love doing funerals, I love celebrating when it's a Christian. And you can give those words of encouragement, because otherwise it could be very depressing. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on something else. So let's focus, point three, last point, let's focus on eternal things. I hope you've figured out I'm not preaching against stuff. Some preachers do. I get that. I get it. They preach against stuff. And I had a friend one time. He came to my church, and he's a preacher. He's dead, so I can't really talk bad about him too much. But he came to my church, and because he was a preacher, and we were in revival, so I called on him to pray. It's a good thing to do whenever you have a guest preacher there. You call on them to pray. Well, he walked up the side, the aisle, and stopped and turned around, and it was raining, and I get that, but he had on rubber, y'all know, if I say galoshes, are you with me? Some, they don't have them anymore, I don't think. Hadn't seen one in years. That might have been the last pair I saw. They were on his feet, and I think they were not waterproof, at least at some level, because they had water in them. I could hear the water in his galoshes as he was walking, sloshing. So he didn't come on up on the platform. He just stopped there and floated. I don't know. He turned around, he prayed, and the preacher that did the revival when we got home, he said, "Please tell me that's not a Nazarene preacher." And I said, "Yep, that's a Nazarene preacher." I got to be careful right here. I said, too many people. He was Gene Phillips' brother-in-law. The preacher that was preaching was Gene Phillips' brother-in-law, who was our district superintendent. So he said, "Please tell me Gene Phillips didn't place him in that church." I said, "Yep." I won't repeat any more of that conversation. That pastor told us one time that he intentionally wore clothes that did not match. Wore old, worn out clothes to look poor so that people would not think being a Christian meant you could be wealthy. And I said, "So you think being a Christian proves you should be poor? I don't find that in the book. I don't find that in the book." Now look, billions of people are poor. It does not negate you from being a Christian, but if you have it in your mind that you're not allowed to be blessed in this life, wow. Look, I'm not a name it and claim it, but I'm also not a disregard it to prove it. That's nuts to me, because God has been good. And in fact, it might be on that bulletin board. I don't know if y'all know it. Y'all gave us a nice Christmas gift, and man alive, I was embarrassed. I was like, "What? What?" But I didn't send it back. I kept it. Actually, on Monday, it left. We had a bill to pay, and my wife was going, "I don't know, we'll pay half." Well, somebody else blessed us at Christmas. Bam! I'm like, "Wow. Yeah. Man, I'm all for being blessed in this life. But all I'm telling you is, you got more coming. Do you realize that in heaven, the streets are gold? You know what that is? Rock. Asphalt. gravel. God says, y'all kill people over gold. I use it to put down on the streets. Do you see how out of whack we are? He says, what you think is good in the temporal is really nothing. Wait till you get here. So I'm telling you this morning, I'm not against stuff here. It's good and fine, but I got there coming. And I can't wait, really and truly. So let me give you this. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than raiment? Jesus addresses this, and Jesus understands. You got to eat. You got to eat. You got to put on clothes. But that doesn't mean, and by the way, I hate to tell y'all this story. Let me show you my shoes. Are these nice? I mean, they're nice shoes, are they not? Some dead Dutchman owned these shoes. Before me. They came from the Well thrift store. I've worn them pretty good. They look stinking brand new. She called me. I don't go in the Well. No offense to anybody. I sit in the car and read or whatever. She calls me and says, you need to come in here. And I said, why? Just come in here. So I went in there. She showed me these shoes. Allen Edmonds or something. I don't even, Ammons. I've never heard of them, but it's a real brand. We got $6. $6 at the Well. We got in the car. She looked them up. She said, those are good shoes. She looked them up and used. On eBay, they were $225, brand new, $400. So not only a dead Dutchman, but a rich dead Dutchman. I didn't even think of that when I put them on this morning. So here's my point. So I have my friend who says, I go to thrift stores and buy clothes that don't match to prove I'm poor. Well, I go to the thrift store to make it look like we got money. Time to quit being silly, preacher. Let's go. Wrap it up. Did I make my point to you? Thrift store. Christmas present socks. My ties. I used to make fun of Nazarene preachers. You know, if a tie comes to here on a white shirt, that's called a bib. Yeah. I'm just making fun. Now I got to go. Jesus said, he didn't say don't eat and don't wear clothes. He did not say that. He said, your Father in heaven knows you need those things. Look, this verse does not tell us we live in rags and eat dirt. No, we are blessed in this life and there's nothing wrong with it. But if you think that's all there is to life, you're chasing the wrong thing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Wow. Stand with me, would you? Y'all can't believe it. This sermon is over. I could have kept going on that. I got lots of preacher stories. A lot of them involve me. So, and you would laugh, but I'm not going to tell anymore. You want something to take home with you now? Everybody's going to say this out loud together, right? You ready? The sermon title is, Where We Focus is Critical. Say these words. I'm going to focus more on Jesus in 2024. I'm going to focus more on Jesus in 2024. And you can remember that, can't you? Because it rhymes. Cool. I took that from the guy that we listened to on he does the devotion. He says that's his theme for this year. And I said, I told her I'm using that Sunday in Pella. It's good. It's good. I'm going to focus more on Jesus in 2024. And when blessings come, I'm going to say thank you. To who? Oh, I got to pray. I got to be done. It was just a couple of months ago at Thanksgiving. Some guy was on my internet on my little thing, and he said things he was thankful for, and he listed some things. And I said, but you know what's missing? He didn't say who he's thankful to. If you're thankful, you got to be thankful to somebody, don't you? And I'm pointing up like we know who we're thankful to. Well, if you don't believe in God, who would you be thankful to? Just dumb luck? Not me. Not me. I choose Jesus. Take him with you when you go. Father, dismiss us. We've laughed today and had a good time. But Lord, I want us to get it today. We cannot live immune from this world, and we should not live immune from this world. We love life. We love people. We love stuff. We enjoy it all. But Lord, we know that this is passing, and there is eternal coming. Help us focus this coming year on that aspect of our life. Help us to strengthen the inner man who can be renewed day by day. Go with us now as we leave this place, and we're going to be careful to praise you in and through it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you.